jump up and down, scream and holler, you know. I'll get the message after all. But I want you to know that old David, he went through some tough things too. And what he would have us to do in our hearts and in our life. But I want to read two verses of scripture, but I'm going to pretty much use the first part of all of 37. But look down at verse 7 with me for a moment. Psalms 37 and verse 7. It said, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his ways, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." In other scriptures it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Give him the opportunity to deal with us. When I think about patience, you know, I was on one of my pity parties with just me and the Lord. I said, "Well, Lord, I don't understand. You know, the cancer's enough, but why got to deal with the heart on top of all of that, you know, concerning that?" And he simply made it very plain to me, what you're going through is not a drop in the bucket of what I went through for you on that cross. And how rightfully so in our hearts and our lives concerning that. But to rest, to find a place of contentment, a place of comfort. And I have that perfect peace of knowing that my relationship with God's fine. If that heart surgery don't go well, if that cancer don't turn out right, whatever happens, we're all going to go leave this old world one of these days. Something's going to take us out. And we're going to stand in the presence of the Lord in our hearts and our lives. But flip on over to a page to verse 25. Verse 23, I mean. And I'm going to read through verse 25. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Isn't it wonderful to know that whatever happens, God's got us in his hand. And no matter where we go or what we're going to do or have to go through in this old world, God's got his hand out for us. "I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread." God will take care of you. "Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." That's what his New Testament scripture tells us in the same thing. But in what he is dealing with here in the hearts and lives of people, there are some things that we got to be aware of in order to understand the goodness and the mercy of the Lord and how to rest in the Lord. Look, the first thing he says in verse 1 of chapter 37, he said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." We can look around and we can see others that, you know, live their lives with no regard for the things of God, no concern concerning their relationship with the Lord and stuff, and it just seems they prosper. Their health is good. Everything's going their way. And they just move on. He said, "Don't fret about that. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb." Our responsibility is to do what verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Take good care of what God has blessed you with. Put it in the hands of the Lord. Trust him. Verse 4, he said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." Delight thyself also in the Lord. This means to do this, we must know him better. You know, we've heard and seen people, things, and we leave with the impression, well, they was a delight to be around. What did they do? They made an impression upon us. And that impression said what? I like them. I enjoy being in their presence. I'd like to have more time in the future. All God's saying is to, in his scripture here, and David said, delight thyself in the Lord. The way that we delight ourselves is to study his word. Let his scripture speak to us. Spend time in prayer and doing good for those that perhaps are less fortunate than what we are in our hearts and our lives. So he said to quit fretting, trust in the Lord, delight thyself in the Lord. And then in verse 5 he said, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust him also, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Then there's them words again. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself in these things that he has for us in our hearts and our lives, and the things that he wants for us to do concerning those things in our hearts and our lives. 15 times he tells us in these short verses of scripture here, fret not, trust in the Lord, delight ourselves in the Lord, commit to the Lord, and rest in the Lord, and then how to hold our tongue and to keep us from doing the things that we do in our hearts and our lives. And so how do we become this person that God describes? This person that can learn to be patient, not fret about everything. We can trust the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit our ways to the Lord, rest in the Lord. How do we go about all of this and our hearts and our lives? We've got to understand what it means. He said in verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not, there's that word again, thyself in any wise to do evil. You know, sometimes we think, I don't get mad, I get what? Even, what are we saying? Opportunity ever comes, I'll pay you back, right? He's saying here, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself any wise to do some evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. One of these days, you know, going to be a separation of sheep and goats. And those of us who have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and him dying for our sins on that cross will be separated amongst the sheep. Those who refuse, the evildoers, will be cut off, he said. Verse 10 says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yet thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. And they may be top gun today, but if without the Lord, and God calls them home, whether it be through the rapture or whether it be through death, then they shall not be anymore. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Those who have trusted the Lord, followed him, New Testament Baptists, serving him in their hearts and their lives, the meek shall inherit the earth. They'll be their lives forever and ever. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon them with his teeth. But the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. He can laugh if he wants to. He can plot against the just. He can gnash upon his teeth if he wants to. But the Lord's going to have the last say. He's going to have the last laugh. for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out of the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy in their hearts and in their lives. The things that they are doing in their hearts and in their lives. So what is the pleasure that God intends for us to experience in our hearts and our lives? Look at verse 16. He said, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. A righteous man living in a shanty on the side of the road, he says here, is better than the riches of many wicked. You know, because that one individual has something that's going to last him how long? Throughout all of eternity. But that one that has all these riches that he's talking about here are used for the wickedness. He said in verse 17 that the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. God will take care of many things. The arm of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be how long? Forever. Forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, and shall they consume away in their hearts and their lives. See, in the day and the time of David, one of the things that, if you backed up and you read up, the evildoers are the various different kinds of religious practices in the land, very little of it being godly in their hearts and their lives. They would offer their children as sacrifices in the fire. They call that a religion. You know, or they would take an individual who professed the Lord, cast them and burn them alive in the fire. The things that they did, we studied that on Wednesday night, on Sunday night in our Daniel, how that Daniel was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego cast into the fire. We know all about what that says and the Lord looking and seeing them in that fire, taking care of them and the things. For us and our hearts and our lives, we don't know how much freedom we have to walk in this building this morning and to sing praises of the Lord, give our offerings to God and hear the preachings of the word and let it woo our hearts and convict us and draw us and correct anything in our lives that might be there in our lives and be able to rest in the Lord and patiently wait for him to work out all the needs that we have in our hearts and our lives. We live in an instantaneous world. We want it when? Right now. That's right. We don't want to wait on anything in our hearts and our lives. But he says the Lord in verse 18 knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be how long? Forever. Their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. All across our area, southern part of the country down through here, we're experiencing a drought right now. All of us would love to see a good rain, wouldn't we? Promised to a little bit after a while, perhaps. I hope it'll get this far in. I'm afraid it's going to stay along the coastline. But why do we need that rain? What does it do? It refreshes the country, doesn't it? Fills our ponds back up. Brings our water table levels back up. sprouts out our grasses and takes care of our needs with our livestock and stuff, and our hearts and our lives, and the things that are important to us. He said, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. God's going to take care of us. He said, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. Be cast into that lake of fire, he tells us later in Scripture. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, honest in their dealings. And what they're doing, we talked a little about that last week, and giving a good weight measure in the things that we do for the Lord. And he said here, the wicked borroweth and payeth not, but the righteous soweth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall be and inherit the earth. And they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. So the possibilities that God sees out there in the hearts and lives of people are simply coming down in my eyes and what I can understand of the Scripture to a matter of choice in our hearts and our lives. Are we going to choose good? Or are we going to choose evil? We're going to do what God would have us to do in our hearts and our lives? Are we going to accomplish what we desire in our hearts and our lives? Now, the Scripture tells us that anything that we put ahead of God is a what? Idol. That's right. Anything we allow to come between us and God. So don't think the devil don't know that. So he's going to keep on, and he's going to keep on, and he's going to keep on in my life and your life and the life of any Christian. He ain't worried about the lost because they're already on his team. The only thing he worries about them is if the Spirit of God gets a hold of him, begins to woo him and draw him to confess and forsake and put him away and let the Lord be the first place in his heart and his life for a change in his life and his eternity with him and where he's going concerning that. But when it comes down to this matter of choice that we're dealing with in our hearts and our lives, whether we're going to do the Lord's will or whether we're going to do what we want to do. So what is the devil going to dangle the carrot in front of us, trying to entice us and draw us away with? Well, he might try this. That didn't work. Tried that. That didn't work. Done this. Done that. He's going to keep on till, I got you. Found something you like. And you're willing to forsake your place in kingdom work to follow your own desires, your own joys, your own hopes in your hearts and your lives. Listen what he says here. You and I have a place in God's work as long as there's breath in this body of ours. I can't find any retirement. Folks ask me, with all your problems, when are you going to retire, brother? When are you going to quit preaching? When are you going to... I said, I can't find a retirement program. He said, he that endures to what? The end shall be saved. We'll work till Jesus comes, you know, trying to do his will. Listen what he says. I read it to you all ago, but I want to go back and expound on it and try to get you to understand. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by who? The Lord. The steps of a good man... That word steps, there's plural. Got that S on the end of it. That means what? More than one, doesn't it? So what are we doing as we work patiently to do the will of God in our hearts and our lives? Who's guiding us? Who's telling us? The Lord is. How's he doing that, Brother Larry? He's doing it through the Holy Spirit. You know, when he came, Son of God, we've heard, we've got God the Father, God the Son. And when he left, he said, I'll send my Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And what's the job of the Holy Spirit? Teach us and guide us in all things. So all things, steps include in that. And every step we take is a part of the plan of God for our hearts and our lives. I've told you over and over again, and I'll say it again this morning. Before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb, God thought about you. He knew you. That word knew means he thought about you. Whether you be male or female, whether you be this and whether you be that, and all of the things that he thought about you, when you compile all those things together, you know what you come up with? A plan. God says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And then at the end of that verse, he said, and he delighteth in his way. Those that follow through those steps, what God has for them in their hearts and their lives, the Lord is delighted in their path, what they are able to accomplish in that. You know what that is? Step by step, each one of us, just by our very nature, are sinners. Okay? For all of us who have been forgiven of our sin in our hearts and our lives by confessing him and his going to the cross and dying for us on that cross, being buried in that barn tomb and rising 3 days later and sending back to the Father, and he's waiting on the Father to say, go bring my children home. All of us on the right side, I don't want to bust your bubble, but I want you to understand what I'm fixing to tell you. We are evildoers too if we're not careful. As careful as we are, we can come short of the glory of God. He said, all have sinned. We have now the Lord living in our hearts and our lives. And he said if we'd be faithful and just to confess, he'd be faithful and just to do what? Forgive and cleanse us from all that unrighteousness. But over and over again, it's not a day in or a day out or a week in or a week out or a month that we can say I was perfect. I didn't make a bobble. God ought to be proud of me. That ain't the way it goes, is it? We go back to that cross. What he did for us on that cross. The steps. There are steps that we take. We come and we hear the word of God proclaimed. And the Spirit begins to woo us and draw us. We call that being under conviction. You know? Conviction for some's a little while. For others, it's months. But God doesn't give up on us. And as God is working to guide our steps and to show us his will and to save our souls, Satan right over here on the other side, he's getting just as hard and heavy to draw you away, to keep you from doing this, going from that, in our hearts and our lives. I seen a lady the other day, and she said, well, I'm sorry. Said, we intended to be at church Sunday. Well, I know we'd already told you we was going to be, but you know, they called Saturday night and said they just didn't have a second baseman, and they needed a second baseman really bad. And guess what got priority, you know? You think those steps were guided by the God? Who knew they were supposed to be in church? Who knew what God had planned for? Who knew? You know, Satan did, didn't he? So he provided what? Perfect out, didn't he? Listen what he says. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. when we become a child of God, even though when we fall, we will not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his what? With his hand. Isn't it good to know that you're in the hands of the Lord? That he's going to be there? We tell everybody all the time, you know, them words that sound so good, you know, and makes us feel like we've really something. I got you back. Don't worry about it. I got you back. You know, who really has our back if we're a child of God? The Lord doth. He said, I have been young, now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. David said there's a time when I was young. When he was young, what did he do? He took a few little stones and a slingshot and brought down a giant of a man, didn't he? With the Lord's help in his heart and his life. But he said, now I'm old. You know? And that gap between being a young man and an old man, many, many things come his way. And he sinned and fell short of the glory of God. He had to be forgiven, just like we do. He said, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. God will take care of us. Regardless, if we want to hang around and fret and fret and fret and fret and fret 15 times, that word comes up. What's fretting doing for us? Ain't getting nothing done, is it? No. And I'm the world's worst. You know? I wanted it to happen yesterday so I could go on with the day, you know? But we're living under God's rule, what he said. But the steps of a righteous man, I mean a good man, a man that's willing to do the will of God. That's what God's looking for. What steps are you following? The ways of God or the ways of the world in our hearts and our lives? Let's pray together. Father God, you know the need of every one of us. Are we sitting around fretting about things that only you can handle, God? Are we fully trusting you to have us in your hand and to hold us and secure us? Are we under the assurance of knowing that we have you as our Lord and Savior? Not, God, I would that you would begin that wooing process, that drawing, that conviction in their hearts and lives to say to them, this is what you need to do. You need to follow the steps of Jesus. Go where he tells you to go. Do what he tells you to do. If you never trust him before, the first place he's going to send you is to ask for forgiveness. That's where we have a time just like this, where you can come and Brother Larry will pray with you and we can ask God to forgive you of your sins and save your soul and give you that assurance of a home in heaven. Then he wants you to follow him in baptism. And that'll be a replica of his death, burial, and resurrection when we place you under that water. Bring you up a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. In your heart and your life. Do his will. Become a member of his church. And serve him. In your heart and your life. I don't know what God may be dealing with you about this morning, but I know and I feel it so deep in my heart that more than anything else, he wants you to have the assurance of an eternity with him in your heart and your life. Search us, God. Know us. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. What are we going to sing, Brother Ernie? 450.